Now, I thought someone was going to read this scripture for me, and I haven't got my glasses, so is anybody able to do that for me? Read the scripture from Ephesians. Is it on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray, we pray, that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Could I just remind you to take note of that? Where it says prayer, it follows quite closely with power. Okay? You may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, high and long is the... Sorry, got that wrong. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power, again, at work in us. His power at work within us. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. It's a simple thing. It's a very simple thing. But somehow or other, we struggle to understand the power of this scripture and put it into our lives, to work at it on a daily basis. We don't often feel that God's power is working in us. And I want to help you and help me to understand that that really is because we're taking so much for granted. We so often think that we can do what needs to be done, that we can achieve what needs to be done, when in actual fact we need to actually just settle on the fact that we cannot, but he can. And when we seek his face, we can recognise that he gives us this strength that rises up within us from the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I would have no reason whatsoever not to understand how deep, high and wide is his love, and to recognise that that love surpasses our understanding. It's beyond what we can understand. Now, the reason I should hold on to that scripture is because 36 years ago, that was the scripture Pam and I had on our wedding invites, that we asked people to come. So I would have no reason not to know that. It's in my heart. It formed a very important day in our lives. And the wonder of those words, bathe in them, take them on board, let them soak into your heart. But as we do that and we recognise God's wonder in our spirit, in our comfort, in our presence, we then come out of that presence and we recognise that what we see outside is a mess. And how do we kind of balance up what we read in scripture, what we feel in our hearts, and what we see outside of our front doors and on our television screen? I've called that this morning the gap. There's a gap between life, spirituality and reality. And to help you grasp that gap and to help me grasp that gap, I want to take a snapshot of 1 week. This is irritating me to hold on to it. So, put it just there. Okay. In 1 week, the week before Easter, the following things occurred. A 10-year-old girl in the UK had her appointments with a hospital consultant cancelled so many times that in the end, when she did see a consultant, there was nothing that they could do for her. It's a heartbreaking situation. In the same week, the Princess of Wales was diagnosed with cancer. In the same week, you may remember, there was a mass shooting in a concert hall in Moscow, and 150 people lost their lives because people went in and just went crazy. A larger number injured beyond the fact that their lives would be changed forever. 45 pilgrims taking a trip from Botswana to South Africa for an Easter pilgrimage to party at the wonder of Easter, and the bus went over a bridge and into a canyon. One survivor. In Baltimore, in America, a cargo ship hit an important part of a bridge, and the bridge collapsed, and trade on the western seaboard and international trade was put into a spiral of chaos, and lives were lost. Migrants around the world looking for safety. We had the annual boat race. I was absolutely delighted, living in Cambridgeshire, that Cambridge won. but they weren't expected to win this year. Three of the Oxford team came down with E. coli. I'm not saying that changed the course of the race, but it would have had an effect. What caused that was the amount of sewage that is poured into the Thames. That's before we look at what's going on in the Middle East and in the Ukraine. On top of all of that, every single one of us is struggling with the cost of living crisis that we are in at the moment, with so many things going up and our income going down. It's a bit of a crazy situation. That all that occurred in 1 week. And that 1 week just so happened to be the week before Easter, when the church celebrates, rightly so, the wonder, the absolute wonder of the Easter story, the hope of eternity that comes through that, beginning with Palm Sunday, coming through to Maundy, Thursday, to Good Friday, and the resurrection. Can you see the gap? Can you see the gap? The world, and here we are as Christians. And to a certain extent, we're living in a little bubble of absolute awesome power that God has rescued us from disaster. And yet we find, what can we do about it when we are ambushed with all of this stuff that's going on? How can we take what God has given to us and celebrate that and take it out into the world? So how can this gap be filled? We've, in some respects, I have no need to stand here this morning, because Phil has pointed out on several occasions this morning the importance of prayer. And and so, yes, he rightly said, "Hey, you're redundant, Jim. You're done for now, because look, we've prayed, we've understood, we've done things." But truly, we need to take that. I think I've still got one or two things to kind of trump card him and put him in his place. Because, you know, we have a power which is so awesome that we fail to grasp it. And we fail to grasp it because of, oh, that's just too big, that's too massive, that's too... And we feel then we're up against it when the voice of Christianity in the West in general has been trampled on for the last 20 years. And we're feeling a little bit downtrodden. I want to tell you, mainly as a result of what I heard at a meeting that Pam and I were at last night in Cambridge, the tide is turning. Things are changing. Let's look positively at what we can do if we accept that the tide is changing. What is it that we can what we can bring to the table to see that actually, whether we feel downtrodden or not, and maybe we do, we are on the winning side. We are so on the winning side. And that scripture tells us that we are immeasurably more than we can understand on the winning side. Immeasurably more than we can understand. And you kind of think, do I need to get a smack in the mouth to understand this? And I think, yeah, I do. I do need to wake up to the reality that God is bigger than where we're at. But to bring this message to you this morning, I went through the ringer in terms of, Lord, when I see what's happening in the nation, this nation, when I see what's happening in our schools, the schools right here where my grandchildren are going to, what is happening on the international stage is crazy awful. And I'm thinking, I'm all over the place with it. Lord, am I blaming the Lord? Is the church praying? Is the church doing anything about this mess? Or are we just sitting back and saying, poor us, poor me? And I'm beginning to wrestle with this. And I did, right through the autumn. We were on holiday, Pam and I, in Cyprus, and took that wrestle there, a month of just trying to find, Lord, what is happening in this gap? What are you saying to me to do? What is it? Do I start another prayer group at church? What is it? And I'm beginning to look critical at the situation, and I'm saying, the church is not praying. But you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in some very interesting ways as we wrestle with what we see. And he said to me, Jim, are you praying? I put my hands up and say, badly. If I'm going to be honest with you, this was the wrestle. And I have to say, badly. And if I was to do a survey around the church, I think most people would admit that their prayer life is poor. And years and years and years ago, when I was a young man, can't even imagine that, I used to do some work with Scripture Union. We'd do beach missions around, and this one year, the church was having an impact into saying, we need to get into our cities. And because in our cities we're seeing the beginning of what we now have harvested in gang and knife crime, and it's appalling. But right back then we were saying there's a need to get into the cities as well as to get to other places. And I went to Islington, and And there were some right thugs there, let me tell you. And you had to watch yourself. But we decided as a team we'd like to do a prayer survey. And so we, armed with 8 young people and myself, and there were groups and groups of these people, went all over Islington. And they had 6 questions to ask people. Do you pray? What do you pray about? What do you think about people who pray? And we had some very interesting comments come back. But this one person left a memory in my thinking. And he stood in a shop doorway. And he was huge. This guy was huge. He was probably one of the biggest black men I've ever seen in my life. And first, I said, do you mind answering a few questions? We would like to know if you pray. Nah, no time for prayer. And all the answers were no. Till we got to the last one. It was, what do you think about people who pray?
Man, I think people who pray is cool.
And it was a very bad accent, but just trying to get over the situation that I was in. And so he said, man, people who pray is cool. And I'm thinking, that is such a contradiction. All of your other answers were, nah, 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 people who pray. He said, why did you say that? And these youngsters that were with me, they're up there. And thinking, he's getting impatient with you, he might just put you down in a minute, so be careful, you know. But he said, my mum prays. That was his answer, my mum prays. And he thought people who praise is cool. And I'm thinking, what a contradiction. But praying is cool. We just need to get to that place where we realise its power. The power that we've read up there. His love is higher and wider and deeper than we can grasp. Until we choose to shut our mouth, be still, and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. You see, we seem to have all the answers to so many things. We know that when we put the key in our ignition in the car, boom, it'll start and we'll get whisked away. We know how that works to a certain extent. We know if we go on holiday, we get into a jet, the pilot is going to zoom us off. We can grasp all this technology, but we can really mess up when it's understanding the simple. The simple is that God wants us to seek his face. And it's there in Scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God. And guess what? And then everything else is going to be all right. And we say, no, 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 no. I need to do it my way. And I think, I don't see many people nodding. But you should be, because it's accurate. It's true. It's a fact that we fail, I fail, to seek his face. Because why? The phone will go. The internet will need answering. The kettle will need boiling. The grass needs cutting. You know, Jesus, in his day, he gave people an invitation to a wedding. And they said, no, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do all this sort of thing. And he ended up taking people off the street to come to the wedding. And I think, can you see the picture? Am I making it clear to us? We need to wake up to what this power is that's in our fingertips. And if, and I pray that in the UK, where I've been brought up and where I live, where I love to live, I'm sick to death of seeing this gap when we have the ability to seek his face to bring change. And it's a simple It's such a simple solution that we fail to grasp it. We need to say no to what I think and what you think. Your opinion and my opinion counts for not one jot at the end of the day, but his thinking changes everything. And honest to goodness, that's the secret. No to self, yes to the Lord. Yes, let's go deeper. But in this wrestle that I was having, there's still the gap. There's still the gap. And what difference can I make to the gap? Absolutely zilch. Absolutely nothing. But now, I'm not getting my wallet out to give you some money. This was the result of my wrestle. Was some prayer cards. And Pam, if you'd like to give those envelopes out, give everyone a pack. Don't open it now because it would distract. But in that pack, you've got six little cards. And the wonder of these six cards is they'll get you one. First and foremost, one of them will get you to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Because we forget that. And that was the very instance that Phil led today. Let's be thankful for him in their prayer time. And let's be thankful for what Jesus has given us, the victory to do amazing things. When we thank him, something explodes within us. It's called worship. It's called praise. It's called awesome understanding that we can live right now in the power of the name of Jesus. One card. So we can't pray if we don't start in that place. And there's others. Pray for your church. Pray that next year there'll be 10 more people in this building. And be amazed when there's 50. Because, you know, we just actually said, church is a bit small, isn't it? You know, and we kind of accept it. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. Kick it blooming out, that negative feeling, and say, look, what we've got is a winning story. We are not defeated. In order to be on that winning thing, we've got to support those that are leading us. We've got to bring them before the throne of God. We've got to say, come on, we can do this together. And when they're strong, the church is strong. So I come this morning, I say, I'll bring greetings from River Church. We're one family. Okay. We're bigger than the number in this place this morning. You know, and grasp it, we're bigger. When we recognise those things, the power in the church, because we know absolutely and without a shadow of doubt that the one thing that God is going to use to bring revival to this country and to the world is through his church. That's it. That's this. So let's cut the negative da-da-da and let's get on with it. Another one will then say, pray for your councillors. Pray for your police commissioner this very week. Do you know his name? Do you know the people's names? Are you bothered? Get bothered. Get bothered. Because these people are going to make decisions for you. And you can hold them to account. If you don't know them, try holding them to account. So it's not just the Sunday. Pray for these councillors, these people that are running what we call our community. Pray for them. Know them by name. And then write to them when you tell them that they're messing up or they're not doing what they said they would do. Hold them accountable. One of these cards will tell you to do that. And then the nation. When we see on our television politicians preaching hatred, that is shameful. That is absolutely shameful. And over the head it goes. We're not And then this awful international scene with migrants all over the world just trying to find a place where they can live safely. There may be other things behind that, who knows, but basically that's behind it. Where they're living, it's not safe for them. And they want refuge. And so, these cards were birthed out of the gap. And I went to the printer and I said in my prayer, how many should we order? How many of these sets should we order? And I thought, should it be 100? Should it be 200? No, 600. So I went to the printer and I said, I'd like you to print these for me, 600 sets. We agreed the price. And obviously when you print something, you have to say, hey, these look good. Or they don't. He was so impressed with these six cards that he printed 2,000 for the price of 600. That's the impossible. That's when God does the impossible. And today, I brought 20 here this morning, so you're going to have to give them out at your prayer meeting during the week. I love this church because they come together to share food. You come together, breakfast, bring and share meals every other month. You know, as a chef, that's music to my ears because food is, whoa, bring it on. And so keep it up. Keep it up. So give these cards out. We were stood, Pam and I, in the post office in St. Nids 2 weeks ago to send a pack of 20 to a guy in St. Ives, Cambridgeshire. We'd sent a few out as a mail thing to Friends for Good News for Everyone. And we were stood. There was a massive queue in the post office. One window open, you know, and we're standing there talking to people in the queue and this old lady came up, oh my goodness, look at that blooming queue in this place. And she was going on alarming. And I said to her, I've got something that will help you sort out that queue. And I gave her a pack of six. And she took them. I said, you know, when we see things we don't like, what do we do about it? We pray. It's this call to prayer. And we can see the impossible starting to happen when we pray. We can see, if we look at every history book that has ever been written about revival around the world, do you know where it started? You might say, oh, it started in Chicago, or it started in the Hebrides, or it started in Wales. Yes, it did. But it started when people chose to come together to pray. When they saw in the Hebrides the need for revival, for God to come, it was just a couple of old ladies that started that revival. Absolutely astonishing what God does with his people when they seek his face. So I hope you'll use these cards. And I hope that you won't, that they're printed in such a size, you put them in your pocket. You keep it in your wallet. You might be taking the dog for a walk. Oh, I'll get one of those out and I'll pray when I'm taking the dog for a walk. You might be picking up your kids from school and there's all sorts of chaos going. Oh yeah, I'll pray for the school. They're good reminders. That is all. That's all these cards are. Reminders that prayer is the power behind what God wants to do with his church. And we are seeing the gap and doing nothing about it. And I want to remind you that we serve a God of the impossible, the absolute impossible. Now, as part of the work for Good News for Everyone, our heart is to put scripture into people's hands. And we do it when we go into schools and prisons and hospitals and so on. We have an international side. At the end of every year, each branch gives to the head office any money that is over. So if we get more income come in than we spend on Bibles and publications, we give it all to head office, bar £250. And all of that money from the whole of the UK gets given into a scripture gift fund to send scriptures around the world. And last year, we have a partnership with a few guys in Eastern Europe, and we sent thousands, hundreds of thousands of the copies of the New Testament into Eastern Europe. And through a sound base, so that we knew they were being used wisely and that there was a good sharing out of that resource. And one of the guys who leads that work, and I can't remember which country it was that it was in. It was either Croatia or somewhere in that area. And this woman, riddled with cancer. And she'd tried, a bit like the lady in scripture who was bleeding. She tried everything to kind of get a cure, and nothing came. But we know in that instance, Jesus healed her just by touching his cloak. That's the power of God. That power is the same today. And this woman said, I don't have long, I've got nothing to lose, I might as well read your ridiculous book, which was in her language. And she read the book, and as she read the book, before she finished it, she felt better. What's this about? Coincidence, is it? She went back to that guy and she said, I've read your Bible and I'm feeling better. And he said, well, go and see your doctor, see what he says. This woman read the word of God and was totally healed. That's the power of God's word. And then when we were recently, as I mentioned, in Cyprus, we went to a church in Larnaca, and it was a similar size to this, but it was pretty tatty. And I thought, you know, this superior Western English type thing. I think, oh, we could have done a bit more with the carpet, sort of thing, you know, or made the work they were doing in that place with people in need would make you weep. The love that they poured into their community, an Orthodox community where they were really in a minority, they just poured love into people's lives. Shabby? Oh no. The pastor there, you'll be pleased to know, was from Northern Ireland. And marvellous man. He stood and he greeted the congregation and he said, I've got no right to feel any superior than you guys sitting there. I'm only here this morning to be able to tell you, teach you, encourage you, because God has poured out his love into him. I mean, I've heard the gospel presented mainly at the end of a preach, da da da, whatever. Never heard it at the entrance to the service. And that man was awesome, and he was serving his community. There was no puffed up, I'm a preacher, none of this nonsense. He was just humble in the sight of God, seeking, how can I serve these people? Awesome. Anyway, we were talking. You know, that happens. I love talking to people. Turns out that there's an imam on the island. There's an Islamic cleric. And a woman with three teenage sons went to him for help. She had left Syria and because her husband joined ISIS. And she felt vulnerable for herself and her children, and she fled. And she found herself in Cyprus, and she went to the imam for help. And he said, if I help you, they will find you because of the network that's there in that community. But I'll give you the name of someone who can. He'd never met this pastor, but he gave this woman the name, go get in touch with this man in Larnaca. And she did. And they just found accommodation for her, settled her down, and welcomed her, and started a process of healing and restoration with her. One night she phoned him up at the early hours of the morning. It's this woman. At the foot of her bed, Jesus said to this woman, she had a vision of Jesus, said, and he's calling me his daughter. That pastor, his wife, got out of bed, drove to where she was staying, and guess what? She was a Christian before they left. And, you know, that isn't something that can be said, this isn't an intellectual journey that he was on, or you might be on, or I might be on. This was a man and a testimony to someone serving and someone relying on God to do what he couldn't. This is just astonishing stuff that is enacted out of a sheer choice to say, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And when you make that statement, when you make and say that prayer, guarantee you, you're going to be inconvenienced. And you might say, I prefer it comfortable, thank you very much. I can come here, I have a cup of tea in the morning, a cup of coffee. We pray a Mickey Mouse prayer and we sing a lovely hymn and I'm not saying, not being derogatory there, I'm just having a go at what church is becoming comfortable. I'd heard it called when I was younger a hymn sandwich service, where you have one slow, two fast, one reading, a message, you go home and you just get on with your week. I don't think Jesus wants us that way. Do you? There's much more to what he's asking for us. And if we have received that priceless, eternal gift of salvation, and we're sitting on it when our neighbours are in need, I'm not wanting to push a guilt button here, because there is always more need than we can meet individually. But if someone needs some help, an act of kindness, or you cannot do that. The women in the Outer Hebrides that started a revival simply prayed. Now, we don't all have the energy these days to go and do this and do that. But seeking first the kingdom of God is my message to you this morning. It's simple and it's effective. Let's dump the armchair Christianity. Let's boot it into touch. Let's recognise the power of those words. It's the power of those words working in us. And then we say, Father God, use me. Use what I have. Father God, what can we do in this church? Because it's not the church leadership. They just open the door. They make sure that everything is here for you. The lights are on. The heating's on, the microphone works, the tea's ready. You open up and they say, come. It's how you invite your neighbour to come with you. It's how you don't necessarily go straight in there, but you say, I know they've got a need, they're not well at the moment, I can cut their grass for them. Can you see? It's not just a theory. This Christian living is something that can change everything. And I promise you, if we choose within the church, your church, this church, my church, any church, to actually take on board the scripture and the power that goes with that scripture, and we take it out and we do and we say and we put it back in our pocket, and we are effective discipleship, disciples into the nation that is falling to bits. And it might just start by knowing the names of those four prospective police commissioners. Who knows? But I think we've got to say, we've got to do a little bit more than what we have been doing. And when we do, in faith, what God is saying do, I can tell you, he will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Immeasurably more than your wildest dreams, I think it says up there. Immeasurably more than your dreams. And so I want us to be able to say that in him we can do and we can change this place. And you can have people coming in that you had no idea were coming in. And you say, oh, I'm not sure I like this because they've got holes in their trousers, or they use bad language, or they haven't washed today, or whatever. It's not important. Open the doors and say, come. And then, when we're trusting on God and not our own deeds, trust me, this place will be different. You will be different because something has happened. An explosion. When that woman had this vision of Jesus at the end of her bed. Get hold of that. That's immense. That woman just reading the word of God and saying, oh, guess what? Cancer's gone. You know, I mean, they're big deals. But so too are the small things. It starts with small. The whole aspect of 12 disciples becoming a worldwide movement started small. And Jesus said to his disciples, go wait. Go wait. And the Comforter will come. And they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But when Pentecost came, they knew. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the people that run during that Easter story and were scattered all over the place, and then they met with the Saviour, risen. And then he says to them, go, I'm preparing a place for you. And Peter that denied Jesus three times, led 3,000 people to the Lord. Boom! In one service, in one point, when the Holy Spirit fell down as fire. Can we see that things are bigger and better than we think? We just need to get off our perch and make a choice to say, I can pray more. I can be more. I can do more. And then, at the end of our lives, well done, good and faithful. Well done. Come. See your inheritance. Or would it be, whenever that time comes? You're a little bit lazy you're a little bit lazy there, Jim. You could have done a bit more with that situation, or you could have given a bit more to that, or you could have done. Yes, that will always probably be the case, because we can't always do better than we do. But Jesus is so gracious, he fills the gap. Well done. Come. So there's my message this morning, is that I hope you'll take these prayer cards. I hope you'll use them in your top pocket, in your wallet, wherever you are, whatever you're doing this week, next week. And that when you do, if something changes, tell each other. Tell each other. Guess what happened yesterday? Testimony is the greatest gift when we're in the spirit world. If you're doing nothing, you've got nothing to say. And we've got lots to say, because Jesus is the power behind all that we